In the 20-odd years that followed that day, he would go inside Shed B dozens of times, but never without the rest of that dark mental wave, never without the intuition of almost glimpsed horrors, of abominations in the corner of the eye. Stephen King from A Buick 8.
Hey, Justin.
Kayla, what's up?
Well, are you ready to talk about our second evil car book of the year of King Challenge?
Yeah, just kind of driving around, rainy night, cruising in my Buick.
Yeah, you know, and our car in the garage has been making some kind of weird noises lately, so hopefully that's not anything creepy or weird.
Just hear.
Yeah, you know, hopefully he won't get sucked into a portal to another dimension, but we'll see. I'll let you know.
Yeah, he'll figure it out.
You know, the people from a Buick 8 certainly don't really figure it out, but maybe we'll do better than they did.
No one really figures out anything in this book.
No, they don't. Yeah. So did you know anything about this book before getting into this?
No. I knew of its existence. I had never really had any interest in. I think, like a lot of people, I kind of like Christine and kind of left it at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't really.
Had you read it before?
No, and I didn't really know anything about it. I just know when we started the challenge, I went onto my Goodreads TBR list and added all the Stephen King books. And From a Buick 8 was one of the last or one of the lowest rated books on my TBR list. And I was like, oof, that's rough.
Yeah.
And I, you know.
It was definitely kind of the one of the ones, yeah, when I was looking at the grand list at the beginning of the year where I was like, oh, don't know about that one. I'm curious to hear what you think. After reading it, to me, it certainly is not at the very bottom of my personal ranking, but I guess we can dive into all of that as we go along.
Sure. And I think this is one of the ones that probably a lot of people haven't read. You know, we hit these every once in a while where it's a story where people might not be familiar. You know, there's not a movie yet based on the book or a TV show or anything.
Yeah, this is this was definitely one of his less successful books sales wise. Mm-hmm. It still debuted at number one, but I think it was only in the number one slot for 1 week,
right? Which is crazy for King. Even some of the books that we have not liked, you know, they've been really popular. Even the really crappy ones have stayed on the bestseller list for quite a while, so that was kind of shocking to see that it was hopped off from that number one spot so quickly. It's pretty rare for him.
Yeah.
For sure. But yeah, I thought I'd give a quick rundown of the plot. It's actually one of the more straightforward books, so hopefully this plot won't be too crazy. This book is a story about a police station crew and the son of the one.
Plot rundown.
Yeah. This is the story about a police station crew and the son of one of the fallen officers. And Curtis Wilcox is the officer who was killed. He was killed by a drunk driver. And his son, Ned, starts visiting the police station. And the people who work there have worked with his father for a long time. So they kind of take him under their wing a bit. And the team starts telling Ned about the Buick 8 in the shed out back of the station. And the car was picked up from a gas station in about 1978. And so they've been kind of watching over this car and kind of running experiments on this car for a couple of decades. And the car is not actually a car. Like, none of the car things actually work. The steering wheel doesn't move. The speedometer doesn't actually work. It's not really an actual car. And the car, as they're working on these experiments, it starts producing a lot of strange creatures. People disappear around the car pretty often. And Ned is hearing these stories about their car, about the car from all of his father's co-workers over time. And Ned becomes convinced that this car had something to do with his dad's death. So he tries to destroy the car, and the car turns into a portal to another dimension and tries to suck him into that portal, which seems very King to do toward the very end of the book. It's just go like balls to the wall. And Ned is saved. He doesn't get sucked into the portal. But yeah, the car is not destroyed. It still is sitting in the back of the station. So that's the plot rundown of this one.
Yeah. It's kind of, how did you feel about kind of just the general flow of the book? To me, it just didn't necessarily flow as smoothly as a lot of the really good King books. You know, it kind of just jumps from random, you know, random creature coming out to the next random creature coming out. I was just, you know, kind of saying it, this one kind of jumps around from big event to big event, or as big as they get in the scope of this book, which, to be honest, is not all that big in the grand scheme of what we've seen from King. But it's really just kind of, I guess, also a reflection of the way that the story is told, where the kid wants to hear, you know, all only about the big things that happen with the car, even though the other state troopers are trying to tell him, you know, about everything else that was going on in life, that, you know, was less of what the car was doing.
Yeah, I agree. The storytelling style that he uses, it, you know, it starts with they're all together and they're telling stories, just kind of smoking on the bench or doing chores or whatever. And Ned is, you know, asking them to tell him asking for stories about the car. And like you mentioned, they're all trying to tell him about his father and about the relationships that they had together, but he is pretty focused on the car, while also wanting to know more about his father. It's one of King's stories where there's a thing, but he's also trying to give us information that's not about the thing itself. And sometimes that works really well. I feel like it works really well. You know, it's a book about a clown, but not really about the clown. In this one, it's just not interesting enough to really work for me. It's just not. I don't know.
Yeah. It just it always feels really disjointed. And there are times where it certainly piqued my interest, you know, some of the, especially when the creatures started coming out of the car,
it's like,
you
super
gross. Kind of wondered like, oh, is this, you know, is like this the beginning of like, you know, some crazy portal opening between the worlds? And but no, they're always just really isolated events, and there's, you know, beyond the one trooper disappearing, there's never really any any significant developments. You know, things come into the garage, and either the troopers kill them or they die on their own, and then you just kind of wait for the next one. After finishing it and thinking about it, it's a pretty nihilistic kind of view from King, because the kind of, you know, the kid is looking, and the kid and honestly his dad too were always kind of looking for what's the grand meaning of this, like what does it all mean? And then, you know, Sandy, it just kind of feels like there is no grand meaning to it. You know, it's just random events that don't have any bigger meaning in the scope of everything else that was going on in life.
That nihilism, like you said, really comes through in this book with how frustrated Sandy gets with Ned, who is a kid. You know, he's 17 to 18, I guess. And I think about that in the context of King he wrote this, he was supposed to write this book before, I think he was supposed to write Dreamcatcher. Yeah, I think that's right. And then he got in the car accident. He abandoned this book for a bit, wrote Dreamcatcher, Black House, and I think On Writing as well, and then dived into this. And I have to think that his experience with that car accident just being so random and such a painful experience for him had to play into this. Just this doesn't mean anything. Things are just random. Yeah. Bad things happen to good people.
Yeah. It's pretty hard it's hard to suss out exactly. I read one thing that said that, you know, claimed that he had the first draft of this one done before he had the car before the car hit him. I think at the very least, you know, based on everything that he said, that he at least, you know, had the outline for it done in his head before the accident. But then like you said, shelved it for a while for a few books of varying quality and then came back to it. Yeah, so it's hard to figure out exactly how much how much the accident plays into the overall tone of the book, but I think certainly it has to play some part in it. And then, you know, some other people also claim that I guess this is, you know, well, this was one of his first post 9/11 releases, and probably certainly one of the first ones that, you know, was really kind of seriously worked on after 9/11. So some people think that plays into it too. I personally don't know that has that much of an impact on what we're seeing here. But if you're really looking for reasons for people to be nihilistic circa, you know, 2002, 2003, I guess there are worse explanations you can come up with.
Pretty easy. I think there was just kind of a general mood in the culture. I was in high school, so I don't really remember what the overall culture was like, but I have a feeling that kind of seeps into everything and might have seeped into this. I don't know, we're speculating, but the book definitely has that big theme going on, and I think the theme really works for this in the book itself, in the story. You know, if he had tacked that theme onto a bunch of other things, it might not have worked so well with just any plot. But I think the connection between Ned learning about this car, thinking maybe this car has something to do with my dad's death, and it's like, no, your dad's death was just random and sad, and yep,
right,
and that sucks because now you don't have a good, you know, larger explanation for why this terrible thing happened. It just happened, and that is crappy, and that's it. So I think it works with the book. So I appreciate that theme. I don't like it, but I don't know. I feel like the story itself is just kind of dull. I don't, you know, I the characters are nice, but they're boring. It's that kind of typical King, you know, they're small town people, but these people are nice,
right?
But they're just kind of dull, and it's fine.
I completely agree. All of the characters are generally likable, you know, even those of them that have faults, you know, they're still likable characters. And, you know, I mean, the book moves at a reasonable pace. It's fairly short for a King book. To be honest, I still kind of felt like it was a little bit too long.
Yeah.
you know, it's still a lot of the, you know, extra dimensional events coming from the car. They really started to feel repetitive after a while.
Yeah, it's like, we get it. we get it.
You know, and then, and then there's kind of the classic King move of not fully knowing when to end the book. Mm-hmm. You know, we get the whole you know, he kind of goes for the cheap twist there at the end where he's making you think that it's Ned who's died in the crash, but it's in fact one of the other troopers who had bought his dad's old muscle car from him.
Yeah, just totally unnecessary stuff, just kind of thrown in here or there for whatever reason. I can't ever really think, as much as I try to wrap my head around, like, why did he make that choice? I just can't really figure out some of those moves. Like, what are you trying to accomplish with this? There's a couple of those in this. But yeah, you're right. Not as bad as some other books. And I don't know. I just found, I think the word I could think of for this book is just very mediocre in my mind. It's fine, but nothing really stands out about it at all to me. When I read it, I wasn't like pissed off like I was when I read Insomnia. But I wasn't, enthralled with it like I am with It or Green Mile or something like that. It's okay.
It's just
Yeah,
there.
it's there. And, it's
That's
readable.
exactly how I felt about it. I mean, I felt, in some ways I actually felt a lot like Ned. I was reading it and, I was 200, 300 pages in, and I'm like, okay, like there's going to be some really cool explanation for, why all this stuff is happening. Like, A, we're going to learn who this guy is who just ditched the car at the gas station.
Right.
Spoiler alert, we never
You're
do.
right.
And or you know or yeah we're gonna figure out like where does this portal go? Does it go somewhere in the Dark Tower universe? does it
Yeah, I kept
go
waiting for
does it
that.
go does it go to the territories from the Talisman? No,
No.
we never really get any explanation in that. I did notice, strangely, I noticed that I was reading the next one that we're tackling, which is going back into the Dark Tower series, and the version that I had, had the list of King's works at the beginning, and it had anything that was Dark Tower connected in bold,
Oh, that's cool.
and so like Insomnia and Black House, things like that. And From a Buick 8 was also in bold, which intrigued me a little because there was certainly nothing explicit in From a Buick 8 that explained it. And yeah, so we'll see. I thus far in our big extended Dark Tower stretch that's coming up, I haven't seen anything yet that's remotely related to the haunted Buick 8, but we'll see. Maybe it does come from the North Positronics company.
Yep, who knows?
Yeah, so I don't so yeah and it's entirely possible that it was just a publisher's mistake, but somewhere out there's something claiming that this book is related to the Dark Tower series, but I have yet to suss out that connection.
Yeah, I kept waiting for it. Like, it seemed very obvious, but it never really happened. So you're right, maybe it pops up later, but I also feel like books should be able to stand alone. And I mean, this one does, it exists and it does its thing or whatever. But if you have other King fans who are waiting for this big moment when this big reveal is going on, like it does in every other King book where there's some connection, it's a little let down. I don't know. It's a little bit of a
It's just
letdown.
it's pretty anticlimactic to, have this other world that the characters can even occasionally they very briefly see into it, but yeah, there's no real no exploration of it or anything. To me it was kind of like and not I didn't even go crazy over the show, but in Stranger Things, when they have the upside down, it'd be like if in Stranger Things they never at all went into the upside down. It'd
Right. Just
be a bit of a
teased, yeah.
letdown.
Yeah, agreed, agreed. Yeah, that I don't really have too much else to say about the book. Just kind of it's there.
Yeah, it's there, and it's like you said, it's not as long and painful as Insomnia or Dreamcatcher.
Nope.
A little bit of a just a I guess a little bit of a spritzer before our extended Dark Tower run that's coming up next. But yeah, I'm with you. I don't have anything else to add. Are you ready for some crowns?
Yes. I am gonna, sorry, go ahead.
No, you can you start us off.
I'm gonna go with two. There were some parts of it that I liked. I liked some of the aspects of, especially at the beginning of the story, with the police officers and the relationship with Ned. you know, trying to support him through this really hard time. I thought some of those interactions were really sweet and really genuine, and King is good at those moments. And some of the car parts were really fun. The nasty bat and the weird plant and that kind of stuff was crazy and fun for the time. But yeah, it was fine. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking before we recorded this one, I was like, no, we've done a little bit over 30 of these now, and there are some times where I really don't know which way Kayla is going to go on a book, like with Black House, because we hadn't texted about it or anything. I really didn't know whether you were going to have enjoyed it as much as I did or whatever. With From a Buick 8, I was 95% sure that this was going to be a 2-crown book for you, because yeah. It's a 2-crown book for me, because that's really all you can do with it. It's like, it's not a train wreck. It's there, you know,
it's nice.
It's competently told, but there's just never anything super thrilling that happens in it. So yeah, yes. I think it's like the epitome of a 2-crown book.
Yes. I think, yes. If I had to pick the one book along the path, which really is the 2-crown book, I think it would probably be this one. It's like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not memorable. I'll probably immediately forget about this book, you know.
Right. Yeah, certainly. As you're diving into the roughly 1,600 pages of Dark Tower mythology that we have coming up.
When you say it like that, it makes it sound so much harder. Yeah. It seems difficult, but when you say it like that, it's like, oh, wow, okay.
Yeah. So what we're hinting at there for all of our faithful listeners is it might be a few weeks between each of the upcoming podcasts. So
we're going to try our best, but these things are, if you've read them, are very, very dense. They can be pretty fun, but they are a lot to get through.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot. And yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about it. I always kind of have a heightened sense while I'm reading them, because I don't want to miss anything that's, you know, important in the grand mythology of them. Whereas, you know, if I missed anything in From a Buick 8 or Dreamcatcher, no sweat.
No, exactly. Yeah, I was reading a little bit earlier today, and I kind of spaced out for a second reading it, and then I looked at the next paragraph and was like, wait a minute, what is all this stuff? And just had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah, that's a definite Dark Tower issue with me too. I'll sometimes have to go back 3 pages and be like, what, how did we get from here to here?
Yes, yeah. So this was, you know, when I look at it in that way, it's like, oh, this was a little bit of a break almost. So, you know, a competent, mediocre break.
Yeah. Well, good deal. I think we've discussed From a Buick 8 more than enough. We've probably discussed it for about as long as it took King to actually write it. So
probably,
we can call it a day here. Thanks, Kayla.
Yeah, thanks.
For more of our Stephen King adventures, please follow us on Instagram at The Year of King.